Now, we all know that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is not only unique in history, but it has a vital and dynamic message for every one of us here tonight. Now, I ask you, what are these verses all about? How do you exegete the Bible? They're certainly not about giving lip service to the fact of being a Christian. Oh, that's part of it, but it's much, much deeper than that. Please allow me to put it to you this way. Man has been in revolt against the authority of his Creator ever since the fall of Adam. And as you look at the history books as well as the Bible, you will see that man has determined to run his own life, and so have women. They've also desired to make this world their playground for amusement, instead of submitting to the authority of God and making this world the training ground for their life in heaven. During this past week, I have become consciously aware more than ever before of the rebellion against the authority of God. And beloved, the rebellion is not outside the church. As I look at my Bible and as I look at history, I see that God had constantly spoken to man through the prophets, through the law, through the messianic psalms. But generally speaking, man wasn't listening. He's still not listening today. But as a result of mankind not listening, God invaded this human race by the virgin conception and virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as Christ in his humanity lived before men and women, he lived the life that God intended all mankind to live. Now the principle here is simply this. Christ's life whilst he was here on earth was a total contradiction in all its principles and values to that of other human beings. That is, those human beings who have been involved in a revolt against God. That is, all who have lived self-centered, self-seeking, and self-serving lives. Or you say to me tonight, I'm not in revolt against God. My reply to that would be, when did you last obey God? When did you last submit to the authority of God? In fact, the standard of life which Christ lived constituted such a rebuke to the standards that men had set for themselves. And they couldn't take it. And so they murdered him. But God raised him from the dead. And it was a resurrection forever. Of course, there were not many people who understood this. They didn't understand its meaning, but there were some who saw its meaning in the expression of the resurrected Christ. There were some who saw the meaning of his life, they saw the significance of his death, and then when he revealed himself as alive from the dead, they understood but a glimpse of its meaning. In fact, looking back, he received the confession of their lips, together with the faith and love of their hearts. And then another miracle happened. These and these only found salvation at that point in time. They loved him. They were prepared to die for him. And then a few weeks later, Christ fulfilled another promise. That is, after he ascended back to heaven, after he had risen from the dead, and this promise he had given to his disciples before and after his crucifixion. He said, I will send another comforter, and he shall be with you forever, and at that hour ye shall know that I am in my Father, you are in me, and I am in you. Ye shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses of me. If not witnesses unto me, that is an incorrect translation. You shall be witnesses of me. The Greek word here for witness means martyr. You shall be my martyrs. You shall be prepared to die for me. Are you prepared to die for Christ tonight? Some of us are. Oh my, these people had found salvation. That is, salvation from one principle of life to another. from self-centeredness to Christ-centeredness, from self-seeking to self-emptying, from self-serving to men-serving. And gripped by that new principle, the very life of Christ who lived it was now living within them through the ministry of God the Holy Spirit, and they swept the then-known world of their day like a bushfire out of control. Is anything like that happening around here? Well, I haven't noticed it, if it is. You see, those who understood Romans 10, verses 9 and 10, were revolutionizing history. Did you know that whenever men, women, and young people are mastered by those very same principles as were the early Christians, the same revolution takes place? Isn't it a tragic condemnation on those who profess Romans 10, 9 and 10, but don't live it? Why don't they live it? Could it be that they haven't got a clue what it means? You only have to look around you if you're a Bible student and if you're in fellowship with the Lord, and you'll readily see that they don't have a clue, because they're not submissive to the divine authority of Christ. Oh yes, they believe the Bible, but how do they believe it? They believe it according to their own little pet theory. Now there's a sequel to Romans 10, verses 9 and 10, and it's simply this. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance and believe and be saved. Well, please allow me now, by God's grace and by the Spirit of God, to explain Romans 10, 9 and 10 to you in this way. There are three simple statements in these verses. Firstly, the confession with which this truth demands. If on your lips is the confession, Jesus is Lord, now that means just more than saying, I believe in Jesus Christ. There is a principle involved here, and it is this. A belief which merely accepts facts and does not lead to action is invalid in my New Testament. I have asked you and asked you lovingly, when did you last try? In fact, these verses are asking you, on what principle of life are you living? God-centered or self-centered? Self-seeking, men-serving, or self-serving? You don't have to answer me. You're not accountable to me. But one day you are going to stand at the Bema Seat as a believer and give an account to Him. Who is at the center of you? Whom are you seeking to please? And whose service are you in? How many people do you know that have said they believe in Jesus Christ and accept all the facts of Christian doctrine? Yes, they read their Bibles. There's no question about that. They attend churches. They profess to worship God, but are still basically rebels. No wonder the unsaved think that God is dead. Why? Because they see so little indication of His existence in the lives of those of us who profess to believe in Him. The confession on your lips, Jesus is Lord, involves a complete revolution of your whole life from the center outward. It means the acceptance of the principles upon which Jesus Christ lived, and which demanded then, as they do now, a verdict. And there is not only the confession which this truth demands, but there is, secondly, the conviction which this truth declares. If in your heart, not in your head or in your intellect, but if in your heart, that is the entire being of you, the real you, there is the faith that God raised Him, that is Christ, from the dead, then there must be evidence of it. There is a conviction of this truth which must be deeper than the intellectual acceptance of certain facts. In fact, it is only the heart and the soul that can understand this truth, that through and by the resurrection of Christ, heaven has answered the verdict of earth upon the life of Jesus Christ.
Beloved, you and I are living in a courtroom. That is what our world is. And you and I have the evidence that will acquit people from hell. But you can only give the evidence if you already know the verdict.
In simple language, God has declared his acceptance before the throne in heaven of the principles on which Jesus Christ lived in his humanity. Maybe these words of the Apostle Paul will also help you to understand this significant truth regarding Christ. He was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. In fact, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead is the condemnation of every other principle of life. And the Bible says, neither is there any other name, and that means character, that means person, under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now, this is the conviction of this truth. And when the Holy Spirit comes upon an individual heart, or even the hearts of a congregation, our Lord says he convinces them of sin, because they believe not in him, and of righteousness, because I go to the Father, he said, and of the judgment, because the prince of this world, the devil, has been judged. Now, beloved, if the confession is on your lips that Jesus is Lord, and the conviction is in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, then something is going to happen. What is it? It is this. The character which this truth demonstrates will be revealed. In simple language, your Christian life will have authenticity. God-given authenticity. And if the confession on your lips that Jesus is Lord, and the conviction is in your hearts, that is, the faith in your hearts that God has raised him from the dead, you will find salvation. And so will others. Why do I say this to you tonight? Because before us tonight is not a simple formula, but a principle. And unless the principle of your life is changed, your destiny will remain unchanged. Perhaps if I put it to you this way, it may help you. The resurrection is the end of the first man and the beginning of the second. Now, you know as well as I do that it is a great moment in a family when a new baby arrives. And all our relatives love to come to see the baby. And someone says, oh, she's the image of a mother. Someone else pipes up, oh, she's the image of a father. And they're all looking for the family resemblance. Of course they do. And this is inevitable. Why? Because there is a blood relationship. Beloved people, when a man or a woman is born of the Holy Spirit, and there is imparted to him or to her the very nature of Jesus Christ, there is inevitably another family like. The nature with which you are born is incarnate in you at the moment when you first breathe. The nature with which you are born again is incarnate in you by the Holy Spirit from the moment of your redemption. And God demands evidence of this in your likeness to the Lord Jesus Christ. You realize that? Is your humanity displaying the loveliness of the humanity of Jesus Christ? And when I talk about the loveliness of Jesus Christ in his humanity, I'm not talking about sloppy love. I'm not talking about this falling all over people and saying, Jesus loves you. And 9 times out of 10, the people who say that are speaking about the wrong Jesus anyhow. Do you know the black Jesus? He's very real. He's very real. But do you know the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God? Are your motives His motives? Does your life portray His motives? Are you sincerely His? Has there been an end to your rebellion? And are you submissive to Christ's authority? You see, if there hadn't been an end to your rebellion and a submissiveness to Christ's authority, then the glorious truth of the resurrection is nothing but the thunder of divine judgment upon your self-centered living. When submission to Christ's authority reveals the principle of the new life in Christ, there will be revival and believers will be under new management. Yes, beloved, under the management of the Lord Jesus Christ. May we pray together. Our Father, please make us aware that we must live the new principle of life as Christians, that we must be submissive to Christ's authority. And our Father, if we refuse to be submissive and desire to be rebellious, then our Father, our prayer would be, deal with us in no uncertain manner. You have clearly shown in the Word, the Bible, your divine principles, your divine values, and above all, your commands for our submissiveness to divine authority. Father, take from us tonight all those excuses that we present in our rebellion that have no valid foundation according to Holy Scripture. Help us this night to realize that you will chastise your children if they continue in an act of disobedience and rebellion and refuse to be submissive to divine authority. We just leave it with you, our Father, because you know who we are and you know what we are. And we pray in the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. We are going to sing a hymn which is 449. I know not why God's wondrous grace to me He hath made known. Thank you. Father, we pray now that your grace, your mercy, and your peace will be with us now and always. Amen. For a time of quiet meditation, greet one another and fellowship across the way. For those of you who will stay for a sing-along around the piano, would you please bring a hymn book with you that we may pick some hymns that you know to sing.